So can I, first in the Supreme series, no other gospel, okay, no other gospel. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, it might be a good thing, because some of you might sit here and think, well, what is the gospel? What does that mean? The gospel is God's good news, God's message for us in the person of Jesus, who was God, and who came to earth. And that little, try to remember that. If you remember nothing else from the video, remember G-O-S-P-E-L, God, our sin, paying everyone life. Is that right? Yeah, God, our sin. So we have a problem. God is from the beginning, but we have a problem, our sin. But in Jesus, God is paying everybody life in Jesus because of what Jesus did on the cross. And the Bible says he died on the cross, taking all our sin and all our shame and all the stuff we've ever done and ever will do. Jesus took it on himself and he put it to death so that in his death and in his resurrection you have life. That's what the gospel is. And so the gospel is good news to people like you and me who are sinners, who make mistakes, me probably as much as any of you, if not more. I often say that and I mean that. Alright, I'm a sinner, saved only by the gospel of grace. I'm no better than any of you guys, and if you're hearing my F for the first time, just because I'm standing up here, I'm no better than any of you guys. Just a sinner saved by the gospel of grace. And that's good news. So the gospel is good news. That's a great way to start the Supreme series. What's the point? This is a wee bit of background as to what was going on. So you will need to pay attention to this because it's a wee bit technical. Chris Conn will understand it, but hopefully all of us will. Okay, so here's what's going on in Galatians, right? Paul writes these words and he says to the people in this place, he says to the Christians in this place called Galatia, he says there's no other gospel. Why does he do that? He says to them, I can't believe how quickly you're listening to all of this rubbish. Alright, so there's stuff going on in this time that people are listening to. So Paul writes to them. Here's what's going on. There was a group of people called the Judaizers who were like Jewish Christians who believed, okay, among other things, they believed that a number of like ceremonial practices from the Old Testament, so a time before Jesus came, these guys were believing that there was stuff, there was practices and things that were going on way back in the Old Testament that were still binding these Christians in Galatia. In other words, they were saying this, they were telling the Christians, so this group of people were saying to them, you must still do this, or you've got to still do that our ancestors would have done back under the Old Covenant in the Old Testament times. They were saying to the Galatians, you've got to still do all that stuff. They were saying, you must not do this, but you must do that. Remember what our ancestors used to do? You've got to still do that. They would have said things like, don't forget to practice that. One of the big things, and all of this, they said, was in order to be saved. So if you want to be a Christian, you want to follow God, they were saying, don't forget to do all this stuff. And one of the big things was circumcision. That's what the Jewish families had always done when a child was, I think, 7 days old, 7 days I think it was, when a Jewish child, boy, was that age. That was part of the covenant that they were under. That was part of what Jewish people did. And so that was one of the big things that they said, you've got to still do that. You've got to still do all that stuff if you want to be saved. Okay, big problem. So Paul comes along, and these guys, these Judaizers, were really annoyed with Paul. That is, Paul, I'm in church this morning, in the family service we were hearing about Paul, the apostle. They were really annoyed that he was removing those things. He was preaching a gospel that was kind of further on after Jesus, and those things no longer apply. Alright? Because Jesus said that he came not to abolish the law and get rid of it, but Jesus came to fulfill it. So all the requirements of all that stuff that these people used to have to do, Jesus fulfilled that in himself. And so something new had happened, and Paul was preaching about this, but these guys didn't like it. And so they were saying, you've got to do this and that, all these extra things, if you want to be saved. Okay, so they were saying to the people, what Paul is teaching you about Jesus isn't enough. These Judaizers said, that's not enough. That gospel, G-U-S-P-E-L, about Jesus, that's not enough. You have to still do all those things if you want to be made right before God. And so they had to go at Paul, and they had to go at these Christians. The Christians that Paul speaks to them are in danger of what's called legalism. In other words, they were in danger of just trying to be Christians by doing X, Y, and Z and keeping all these old laws. And these people are in real danger of that. And so as I thought about that, guys, in the church today, there's similar problems. Okay, for you young people, tonight we're thinking about no other gospel. And I just want to say to you that there are other messages out there that people want you to listen to, even in the church. People try to tell you that you've got to do all these things to somehow be saved and somehow be good enough. Sometimes we even tell ourselves these things, all right? And there's just a couple of examples. These are just off the top of my head. Like baptism, in some places people would say that you have to be baptized
in order to be saved, all right? In order to be right before God, which is in heaven free. Some other Christians would say you've got to speak in tongues. It's, some of you may have never heard this before, but some Christians would say you've got to speak in tongues, in a heavenly language, in order to be saved, in order to be right before God, which is not true. Some other people would say you've got to do, just like these people, you've got to do all these extra things, all these extra like works of, you know, good things, and do all these like ceremonies and whatever else in order to be saved, which is not true. Who's ever heard of the thing where you have God on one side and you've got a big thing for man on the other, and somewhere in between you plant a big cross, and so you tell people in order to get to God, it's through Jesus. Okay, so the cross is between man and God, and we believe that. And the thing, this is really familiar, and in many ways, I do believe that, okay? I think in many ways that does make sense. Of course it does. We all believe that in order to, well, maybe don't all believe that, but that's what as a church we believe, and we want you to believe that in order to get to God, it's through Jesus, okay? Be under no illusions. That's the only way to get to God. Some of you here might think that's by going to church that you're a Christian. It's not. Or by hanging about with Christian people, you're a Christian, you're not. It's only through Jesus that you're a Christian and you can connect with God. But I thought about this, and very often the arrow is going that way. Okay, so where are people moving from? Okay, so from man to God, all right? And as I wrestled with that, honestly, I wrestled with that, I thought, we're always saying this, that you've got to like, move towards God. And so man was on one side, and we were all on one side, and we're moving across to the other side, and we're moving towards God through Jesus. And in lots of ways, I believe that, and that makes sense. But as I thought about that, there might be a problem with this. There might be a problem with the direction of the arrow. All right, hopefully you're still listening. There might be a problem with the direction of the arrow, because whenever we look at it that way, it's almost as if we're always saying that man is coming to God, and we're always saying that man is getting to God, and we're saying that man, that we are reaching God and trying to reach towards God and get to Him. But in actual fact, the gospel is this. I believe this. I believe the gospel is this. I believe the gospel is about a God who, through Jesus, connects us with Himself. And so God is on. I was talking to someone two nights ago who's really struggling with his faith. And I said, listen, you have a God who is recklessly pursuing you. God, the arrow is set in this direction. Alright? God has already done something. God has already put that arrow in place from Himself to planet Earth. The arrow is already set. How did God set the arrow? By sending who? By sending Jesus. Okay? So God did what? Did God come up? He did eventually, but God came. God came down. That's one thing Myers used to always say to me. Big brain, big clever, big man. He used to always say, you know, every other word religion is about trying to get to God, trying to reach to God, trying to somehow be good enough for God. And Miles said to me, very beginning of his time in university, he said to me, but Christianity is the only religion, the only word of faith where God has come to man. Every other faith is about trying to get to God. The gospel is God come down. God come to man. Now that changes everything. That changes everything. That means God is in pursuit. God is in pursuit of us. And God has a plan that's already set in motion. Okay? The power of a good story. Every good story always has a hero. Okay? It always has a villain. and it always has a damsel in distress, alright? And as I thought about the gospel and the good news of Jesus and what God has done, the gospel, the greatest story ever told, contains these elements, okay? Think about it. There is, and the arrow has already been set. So there is a villain. Okay, there is a villain in this story of the gospel. Who's the villain? Who's against us? Say again, Paul?
Yeah.
The devil. Okay, and people that he uses to pull us down. And you guys know all about that. Okay? You guys know all about how the enemy wants to attack your life and pull you down. There is always a villain. There is a damsel in distress. And in the gospel, who is in distress? We're talking about what God is doing in the Word. People like you and me, okay? We're part of this world that's in distress. We're all what God are. Sin, we're all sinners. You're in distress. We need somebody to rescue us. We need a hero. Who's the hero? Jesus. Alright? Jesus is the hero. And do you know what? Through his church, through the church, we are part of being part of the hero's work. We're part of the hero's kingdom. So we also join in that heroic work of being a part of what God's doing in the world. So the gospel is a story that has all those things. Let me just try to finish up because there's not much left here. Let me just say this. In this story, as we trust in Jesus, we are saved by grace alone. God's undeserved favour on our lives, okay? We are saved by what God has done alone, not by all those other things like the Judaizers tried to tell the people in Galatia that they needed. You're good enough for God. See some of you young ones coming up? You're good enough for God if you trust in Jesus. Alright, all of us. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That's an amazing thing. That's a gift from God. That by grace alone, through faith in Jesus, we're saved. We can connect with God. You know, we turn away from our sin and we turn to Him. We give our lives to Him and we are His. God has done it all. I believe this. God has done it all in Jesus. Okay? So that in Him we can be all and we can have all that we could never have on our own. And what I'm talking about is forgiveness from sin. Alright? Forgiveness from sin. Mercy poured on our lives. A future that's unlike what it used to be. And lots of other things. We get that through Jesus, through what He has done. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. And it's the most exciting thing. So Paul says this, okay, calling it a close. This is what he says to these people. He says, I am astonished. He says, I can't believe it, you Galatian idiots. I can't believe it. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting, look. You're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and returning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Alright? So he's saying to them, I can't believe you're being so stupid. He says, you heard all about Jesus and all about the gospel of grace. And he says, I can't believe you're turning back and you're listening to that nonsense that these guys are coming in and telling you. And I think that's a warning for us. Let's get this right, okay? Here we come to a close. Let's get this right. The story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Anyone familiar with that story? A woman who's caught in adultery is brought out and they're about to stone her. The religious leaders hate her. They want her killed. And they want Jesus to send her to hell, basically. They want Jesus to throw the stones and kill her too. So they want him to stand over this woman who's had an affair with another man, which is an awful thing. But they want Jesus to stone her and to be part of what's going on. And so they bring her out, humiliate her. She probably didn't even have clothes on. They throw her on the ground in front of him. And they say, Jesus, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And Jesus says to the woman, probably tears in her eyes, totally humiliated. He says to her, who condemns you? And he says, then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. But he says this, now go and leave your life of sin. Guys, get this right here, okay? God is a God who recklessly pursues sinners like you and me. He comes after us. Jesus doesn't say to this woman, this is really important, Jesus doesn't say to her, dragged out in front of him, he doesn't say to her, woman, go and leave your life of sin. Go and leave it behind. Stop doing that stuff that you're doing, all that adultery and messing about with other men. Stop doing it and then maybe I'll not condemn you if you come back.
and you've cleaned up your life. Jesus doesn't say that. Sure he doesn't. He says to her, he says, neither do I condemn you. Do you know what he says? Jesus is declaring, he's saying, the gospel of grace is reaching into your life. And Jesus says, do you know what? You're a sinner who can be saved by a saviour. That's grace. He says grace first to this woman, and then he says to her, now that you're seeing this grace, go and leave your life in sin. This is really, really important. Let's get this right. Number one, Jesus alone saves sinners. Jesus alone is the one who is the saviour of the world. Okay, not all this other stuff that some people would try to tell us. Number two, grace comes first. Okay, God is a God of grace who loves this world. Grace comes first before the cleanup. Alright, now you hear me loud and clear. If you're not a Christian and you come in here tonight, you think, I've got to have everything cleaned up before I give my life to Jesus. That's a false gospel. Some people would tell you that. Some churches would make you feel that. You've got to come into the church and you've got to have everything neat and tidy in your life and all sin all dealt with and cleaned up and feeling really, really like clean and pure and holy. That's not the gospel. The gospel is for broken, dirty sinners like you and me, if we're honest, who come to Jesus. Grace comes first, and then number three, grace demands a response. Hear me really clear on that as well. Do not ever abuse the gospel of grace. Some people say because God is so loving and caring, you can do whatever you want. That's not the response. We all have the answer for the lives that we live. The Bible says that. But the response to seeing the grace of God is to do what? It's to give everything to him. See, if you really see this, leave the stuff behind. That's what Jesus says to the woman. Adultery? You're messing about with other men. Leave it behind. Come and follow. Come and follow. So grace demands a response. At the end of Galatians, I thought it would be really interesting to just see what Paul says to them at the end of the book. Because he does all this stuff in between that I'm not going to go into. But he starts off with this stuff, you know, no other gospel, and then he starts to unpack that. At the very end of the book, I thought, what does he say to them at the end? This is a really interesting verse. Has anyone ever heard this verse before? Paul says to the Galatians, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Has anyone in here ever heard that verse? I've never heard that before. Paul is saying to them, Galatia, look at how big I'm writing this. He's saying, can you see how big this is? Look at how big I'm trying to write this. He's saying, you're believing nonsense. Look how big I'm writing these words, Jesus Christ. And he says, it's all about him. And there's a wee verse in Galatians 6 at the very end. It says, he talks it to the people at the end and says, those trying to impress people by means of the flesh, he says, don't listen to them. And then he says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to them, oh, that stuff, don't listen. He says, listen to this. Jesus Christ. He says, see what large letters I'm writing this in. Don't ever miss this. And that's a great way to end the book.